Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Yes. Yes.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him,
yes,
and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth,
yes,
and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you have a text or a title tonight, I'd probably call it a blueprint for living. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God, a blueprint for living. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we become disgruntled, we get discouraged.
Right.
Because, you know, we see other Christians, we see other people in the churches that we pattern our life after. And if you don't watch out, you'll get discouraged, because that's a major mistake. Amen. We've all did that. We've all set our sights on brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. That's what I'd like to do. Amen.
Right.
And maybe not, but sometimes brother or sister so-and-so will let you down.
Right.
Amen. You get disgruntled, you get discouraged. Amen. But I tell you one that you can put your blueprint after, and you can set your sights on, and you can set your living like, and it's not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, it's Jesus. Amen.
Yes, yes.
And if you'll set your sight to live like him, like what Psalm said, 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Right.
Yes. Amen. How many can say I can trust him? Hallelujah. Yes. Great God. Amen. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. I never realized how much this consisted of. I can't even get into all that. Amen. But to get into all the things, amen, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What was his mind like?
Yeah.
I tell you, he had a humble mind.
Yeah.
He had a forgiving mind. He had a loving mind.
Sure.
Amen. That's not my message tonight. But you could preach a whole sermon right there on the mind of Christ. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. I like what Zechariah 9:9 said. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on an ass, and upon the coat the foal of an ass. Jesus was the King of Kings,
yes,
the Lord of Lords, and look how he entered into Jerusalem. Amen. Humbled and sitting on a donkey, praise God. Amen. That goes to show you a little bit about the mind of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But we won't spend a whole lot of time with that verse. Amen. I feel like that could be an entire message about the mind of Christ. Amen. But I'd like to move on down to verse 6. Who being, this is very, I've read this through the years, but I had time, amen, to really look at this. Praise God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. Fasten your seatbelts. There's a whole lot in this. Praise God. Amen. Two words very carefully chosen by Paul to show the unchangeable Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right.
This first word here that Paul carefully uses is this word being. Amen. Great God. That which the word comes from a Greek word which means that which a man is in his very essence and which cannot change. Amen. We all have a part of that. Praise God. But Jesus was essentially, and he was unalterably God. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. Whether praised or persecuted, loved or worshipped, some worshipped him, some mocked him. Amen. I tell you, that did not change who he was. He was still God. Amen.
Yes.
When they mocked him hanging on the cross and they beat him with the cat of nine tails, he was still God. Amen. When the angels in heaven worshiped him before he left heaven, he was still God. Amen. Hey God, I'd like to tell you here tonight, amen, whether praised or persecuted or however they was treating him at the moment, it did not change the fact that Jesus is very God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a great challenge to us to live and act like Christians no matter what the circumstance is. Amen. We're a Christian whether they mock us or ridicule us. And we're a Christian whether they praise and they, amen, are our friends. Hallelujah. Great God. But the other word here that I like to look at, amen, is that word form. Amen. This word form, there are two words, amen, that makes up this in the Greek that I thought very interesting. I love this. Amen. One word is, if I'm saying this right, morphe, which means the form that never alters in the Greek. Amen. It describes the inner essence of something. Amen. The other word is schema, which is the outward. Amen. From which does change from time to time. Amen. Yeah. Great God. So let's illustrate that so we can understand this. A little bit of Bible study here tonight. Amen. Any of us can be labeled as the morphe. If I'm saying that word right, what do you mean by that? Praise God. Well, the kids have been to my mom's house and she's got pictures of me when I was a baby.
Yeah.
Your mom did too.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, a few years later, there's another picture. Amen. A few years later, there's another picture. A few years later, there I am in my cap and gown, graduating high school. I'm the same person, but I changed.
Yeah.
From a baby to a 12-year-old, amen, to a teenager, praise God, to a graduation, and Michelle's got one. I didn't really want her to put it on there. Amen. But she's got one upstairs in my little room up there. I was in another cap and gown, or in a white uniform when I graduated nursing school. Amen. I was a little thinner and had a little more hair back then. Praise God. Amen. And now you can look at me. Amen. I'm the same person, but the morphe, amen, changed. Praise God. Yeah. You go from a baby to a child to a teenager to an adult. It even goes further to an elderly man until finally in that twilight golden years. Yeah. Amen. You're the same person, but you changed through the years.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Amen. That's what morphe means. But schema, amen, means that outward form. Amen. Yes. I had those backwards. Amen. But, amen, schema is the one that changes. Morphe means that inner man that does not change. You have to forgive me with that. Amen. But the word Paul used here for Jesus being in the form of God, amen, was the word morphe. Amen. Thank God. He was saying that Jesus was unchangeable. Hallelujah. I love this. Amen. His inner essence was divine. Amen. He was God. He was God on the outside as well as he was on the inside. Amen. Great God in heaven. Amen. But he remained in his being. Well, explain that to me. The same as Jason changed from a baby to my current age of 38 years old today. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, he was God. Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven. I tell you, when he grew up, I don't know what his picture looked like, Sister Claire, but I can see him down in the temple teaching the doctors and the lawyers. At the age of 12, he was God right there too. Amen. Thank God. At the age of about 30, he started his earthly ministry and he started preaching the gospel down the, amen, sand of Galilee. Hallelujah. He was very much God right there. About 3 years later, amen, evil men got their hands on him and they beat him and they marred him. Isaiah said his countenance was unrecognizable and they hung him on a cross and they mocked him and ridiculed him and cast lots for his garment, but he was very much God right there. Hallelujah. Thank God in him. But it doesn't even stop there. But thank God, 3 days later, they put him in a borrowed tomb, and he got back. He rose again. He was very much God right there. Thank God. I come to tell you, church, He's a sovereign Savior, and He does not change. Amen.
Right.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that good?
Oh, sweet.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm glad I'm serving a God. Amen. That does not change. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. I always wondered what this meant. The word robbery comes from a Greek word which means to snatch or to clutch. Amen. The meaning is that Jesus did not need to grasp or to snatch a deity title to be equal with God. He thought it not right. He didn't have to snatch or to, try to grasp a hold of a deity title. He was already God. Amen. Lord in heaven. He told the Father there at one point, He said, Father, glorify me with the glory that we had before the world was ever formed. Amen. What does that mean? That means He was God. Amen. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Jesus. Amen. Was God. There was nothing to be jealous. There was no strife. There was no jealousy between the Father and the Son. Those that heard Jesus, amen, sought to kill Him. Because they were saying He was making Himself equal with God. And they tell you something, Jesus, amen, God the Son, is equal with God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's listen here. But He made Himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Great God. What did He do? I'll tell you what He did. This verse is saying He emptied Himself. Thank God. He emptied Himself. His glory was temporarily, amen, veiled in His humanity. Thank God. Men saw brief glimpses of His glory in His message of love and hope and forgiveness and the miracles that He's shown. John 7 and 5 said, for neither did His brethren believe in Him. Thank God, the very God of all the universe came down wrapped as a babe in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem, but His own brethren did not even believe in Him. Thank God. Amen. He was empty. He emptied Himself of eternal riches. He gave up riches and blessings, adoration and worship. Amen. Why? To come down here to this old earth. Matthew 20 and 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. That though He was rich, thank God, look at this. He was in heaven. He was heaven's pearl. Amen. I mean, everybody in heaven worshiped Him. The angels worship Him. All of angelic beings in heaven. He was rich. Thank God. He was filled with the greatest of great. But He left all of that and He came down to earth. Thank God. Why? Amen. But He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant. Heaven's best, the mightiest King who ever could have been. He left all of that and He came as a servant. If that don't make you want to shout, you need to go join a Presbyterian church. Thank God. He loves us. He left it all and He came down in the form of a servant. Thank God, because He loved us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Woo!
Oh, yes, God.
He emptied Himself. Glory. Thank God that He had, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That, amen, ye through His poverty might be rich.
That's it.
He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. God in here. Amen. That will make you want to shout. Jesus, amen, was born in a borrowed stable. Hey God, he was laid in a borrowed manger. He used a borrowed pulpit in a boat somewhere. He fed thousands of men and women with a borrowed lunch. He slept in a borrowed bed. He rode a borrowed donkey. Hey God in heaven, I don't feel like shouting. I feel better when all y'all put together. I know that. He observed the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He was mocked as a king in a borrowed robe. But thank God, after they crucified him and hung him and killed him, he was put to rest in a borrowed tomb, because he knew he wasn't going to need it very long. He got up on the third day. I come to tell us, church, he left the splendors of heaven and took upon him the form of a servant because he loved us.
Amen. Woo! Holy, holy.
The glory of divinity Jesus gave up willingly in order to become poor.
Yes, he did. Praise God.
Hallelujah. He poured out his love, his time, his life, his blood for us.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave it all. He emptied himself of his divine rights for us without suffering. Amen. His divine abilities. I love this.
Praise God.
He gave up the divine life, the divine atmosphere of heaven, and he came down and he was clothed with the flesh like you and I. But he never lost his divine ability. Praise God. Woo! Great God. He was and always will be God. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus took on the form of a servant. This word took means Jesus did not cease to be God. He was very much man and he was very much God. Hey, well, so what happened? He added the amen flesh to his divinity. And this word form here is again from the Greek word morphe that we used earlier. The lesson is, amen, Jesus was a servant. This never changed, for it was the essence of his character. It wasn't him just acting or make-believing. He was a genuine servant. He temporarily gave up the highest glory imaginable, the glory of all of heaven, to take the lowest position available, the position of a bondslave, the position of a servant. Thank God, when we try to impress others, we are assuming the wrong role for our life. Jesus never tried to impress not one person. He never one time came down and said, "Listen, boys, when I was up there, everybody worshiped me." No, but he was the total form of a servant. Amen.
God,
he was made in the likeness of men.
Holy, holy
Christ. Though Christ became a man, he was still very much God.
Yes, he was. Yes.
Shoot.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Let's go on here. I'm only going to try to get to 11. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yes.
Each step down brought Jesus into deeper humiliation. And finally, Jesus met death. Death marked the ultimate point of obedience. Amen. The extent to which he went for us, Jesus chose a form of death reserved for slaves and criminals.
Yes, he did.
The death of the cross. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The cross became a stumbling block to the Jews.
Sure did.
Amen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Why? Because, amen, the Romans, they treated their criminals to the cross. Those that was accused of treason, amen, robberies, assassins, the worst of the worst, criminals, slaves, amen. Oh, yes. Crucifixion, listen to this, was preceded by scourging to hasten death. Once on the cross, the person was usually left to starve to death. Amen. They would also be roasted by the sun, severely chilled by the cold nights, tormented by flies laying eggs in their wounds and biting at their flesh, and also the birds and the wild dogs. If the person was nailed to the cross, a drink was given them to help deaden the pain. Listen to this. The suffering of crucifixion was so intense, especially in hot climates. Inflammation and bleeding of jagged wounds produced traumatic fever that was aggravated by the sun. Strain on the body, thirst. The wounds from nails swelled around, swelled around the nails, torn tendons and nerves produced extreme pain. Arteries in the head and in the stomach were surcharged with blood, and terrific throbbing headache ensued. The rubbing of the back wounds on the rough surface of the cross was excruciating. The victim of the cross would die a thousand deaths. Death would be preceded by exhaustion and finally unconsciousness. It was a long way down from heaven's throne to Calvary's cross. Thank God I come to tell us. Amen. He suffered, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he died for me. I'm glad that he suffered a thousand deaths. Why hang on Calvary's cross? Oh, because he loved me.
Holy Lord.
Isn't he a mighty Savior, church? Isn't he a good God?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name.
Worthy, Lord.
Which is above every name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Woo! To raise up over, to super exalt. God super exalted the name of Christ. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God brought him, raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Woo! What about Acts 1:9? Speaks of his ascension. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Right.
Praise God. What about his coronation in Matthew 28:18? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. How about John 17, speaking of his coronation also? And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self of the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Yes.
How about his intercession? 1 Peter 3:22, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and power being made subject unto him. That's why cancer has to shrivel up, amen, at his word. That's why heart disease has to be made whole at just the spoken word of him. Did you hear that? Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being subject unto him. Romans 8:34, who is he that can, amen, condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've got some pull in heaven. Amen. People say it's all a matter in who you know down here. And it is a lot in who you know. But great God, I come to tell you something. I know somebody in heaven. And his name is Jesus. And he's at the right hand of the Father in high. Great God. And he's pulling for me. And he's my King. And he's my Lord. And he's my God.
Praise you, Lord.
His name is above every other name. His name is exalted.
Jesus.
At no time listen to this, has every knee bowed to Christ. And every knee's going to bow.
Yes.
That's what he said. I don't believe Sister Sharon every knee has bowed to him at one time.
No.
Woo!
No.
Oh, yes. Amen. I don't believe every tongue has confessed him to be Lord. Amen. At one time. Only a small percent of the human race has even, amen, respected and revered that name. Do you know in public now, if you hear the name of Jesus or the name of Christ, most of the time it's used as foul language, it's used as swearing and cussing, not in respect. Great God. But oh, one day his name will be revered and his lordship will be acknowledged. When a ruling dignitary approaches the courtroom, amen, you know how they act? They say, all rise when a judge walks in the room. Hey, God. Oh, yes. In respect of that judge. When a ruling dignitary in British dignitary walked into the room and everybody stood, hey, God, in respect. And that man said, please take your seats, gentlemen. I'm not the Lord, you know. Hey, God. One man spoke up and said, no, your highness. If you were the Lord, we wouldn't have stood. We would have bowed to our knees. Hey, God, I come to tell us, church, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Look into me, Isaiah said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Hey God, I come to tell us tonight, church, he's the Lord of Lords and the King of all kings.
Yes.
That name is precious.
Yes, it
ointment
is.
Poured forth.
Jesus.
In his name, the forgiveness of sin is preached.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there any other name given among heaven whereby we can be saved? No.
No.
The only name a person will ever get their sins forgiven is by the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Allah can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't help you.
No.
Only one that can forgive sins is the one that I preached to you already here tonight, is the one that left all the splinters of glory and came down and suffered the death of the cross, all because he loved us. Woo! I got to hit this before I finish here. Amen. It's in his name that we come in honor, and we can pray and call unto the Father in his name.
That's right.
His name is how we get saved. His name is how we approach the Father.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Oh, yes. Great God, true believers who love God's Son gladly own and bear his name. Woo! Amen. Do you know how the word master, amen, became? In the Hebrew, the word Jehovah means Lord. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus is no longer the baby in a cradle or the Savior on a cross. He is a risen Savior at the right hand of the throne on high. Praise God. John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and did you notice that? The Lord Jesus, hey God, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Acts 2:36. Amen. Apostolic's like 2:38, but I like that one too, but I like 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. You tell me how they could go from 36 to 38 and twist it so bad. That God hath made Jesus his Son.
Yeah.
And God, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. He's Lord of all lords, King of all kings. Thank God when a person is saved, Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about this. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Notice this.
Lord.
He could have used lots of names here.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus.
Come on.
Could have used that. That would have been very sufficient. Whosoever shall call upon, amen, the name of Christ. But Romans, Paul used this word here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
When a person is saved, he turns from sin and he turns to Christ simultaneously. I don't believe a person can get rid of sin without Christ.
Never.
Amen. You can't do it. Praise God. But when we kneel down in an altar of prayer, we say, Lord, will you forgive me my sin? We turn from sin and we turn to his lordship.
That's it.
Praise God.
Yes.
When a person is saved, he is acknowledging that the devil is no longer Lord of his life, that sin no longer rules and reigns, but now Jesus Christ is the Lord of his life.
Thank you, Lord.
In the New Testament, he is called Lord, listen to this, 651 times.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Savior, you know how many times the word Savior is used? 24 times. But Lord is used 651 times.
My.
I believe he wants to be recognized as Lord of our life.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, listen, Jesus is called Savior twice in the book of Acts, but he is called Lord 92 times. God. There is a great emphasis of his lordship. Jesus, amen, is to be accepted as Savior and Lord. And I believe that when a person gets saved, he will truly turn his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
It shows that that person is willing to surrender. Amen. The world ain't worth it. He's always on my mind. What's he saying? He's Lord of my life.
Amen.
My mind ain't on the world. My mind ain't on things around me, but my mind's on him. He's the Lord of my life. What's that thing that's ruling your life? What's that thing that you're always thinking and talking and, amen, that's consuming every moment of your, it's the Lord of your life.
Yes, Lord.
People make a lot of lords.
Right.
But there's only one Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
No man can serve two masters. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
No man can serve two masters. Jesus has to be the one and only master of our life. Amen. Somebody help me up here. I'm done.
Thank you, Lord.
Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, that. Amen. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we cast out devils? And in thy name done many mighty works, many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew thee, depart from me. You worked iniquity. Christ is to be the master of our life and not ourselves.
Yes.
All believers are to be obedient to his will and the word of God. It really burdens my heart, church. We're living in an hour where I'm not so sure a lot of churchgoers have him as Lord of their life.
God. Come
on, brother. Come on.
Lord, help me. Help me, Lord.
Yes.
We're living in the last stretch, home stretch, they call it.
Jesus.
Brother Tommy, we're in the home stretch.
Yes, we are.
We can't afford to lose him as Lord of our life right now.
Oh, God.
I was going to preach tonight on the coming of the Lord, the last times, the last days. Over in the book of Luke, we're told where they said, Lord, tell us what shall be the last days. Matthew 24, what shall be the last days? Said they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. He says it's going to be like the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were married, they were given in marriage. What's wrong with all that? Nothing. No sin by name right there. Other than they was living life on their terms. Jesus says, Lord, you don't live life on your terms. You're living on his terms.
Right, Lord. Right.
Praise God. We put God first.
Put him first. Give us all God. For the Holy Ghost. I wish we had a house full here. Amen. But I'm glad you're here. And Lord, we need to make you Lord of our life. How many make you find yourself an altar here tonight and say, Lord, I want to make you preeminent in my life. I'm not the captain. I'm not the co-captain. You are everything. You're Lord. You're Master.
Yes, Lord.
Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you help me get my priorities intact? Would you help me put you first, God?
Yes, God.
In this day and in this hour where nobody's even looking for your coming. In this day and in this hour, Lord, when people's preoccupied with their own lusts, their own desires, they were eating, they were drinking, they were married, they were given in marriage. They were consumed with social issues of the day. They were consumed with all the socialistic movements. They were consumed with
what they wanted,
political matters. And then until the day the flood came and swept them all away, and they knew it not. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.